This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. We are led by our senior pastors, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. Today's sermon is titled, The Love of God and the Ten Commandments. It was recorded on November 3rd, 2019. It's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
Well, this funny thing happens the last time I was with you. I got married. It's just such an amazing thing with, as many of you know, walking through the challenge of watching my first wife decline and then pass away. I had the worst time of my life, followed by the best time of my life. And Donna has been such a gift, such a joy. You want to say anything? And please don't make me come up there. That's what she's really saying. Well, good. My son, Daniel, sends his greetings to you. He's doing well. Got a job driving for Uber. So he's Ubering. So today, it's already been immensely confirmed. I want to talk about the love of God. But I'm going to talk about it in a way you probably never heard before. When we think about the love of God, we think, you know, like, oh, how wonderful he loves us and he sent Jesus to die. And I mean, I'm not in any way minimizing that. Anybody glad for Jesus? Oh, the wonder. And many of you know that my passion is teaching about the Father heart of God and the wonder of his heart for us. That's all true. But today, I want to approach it a little differently. I want to talk about the love of God found in his commandments. See, when we think of the word commandments, that's not something that draws us normally to the love of God. Commandments is, thou shalt not. And it's intimidating, it's fearful, it's like, something I got to do. Or something I gotta stop doing. But I want us to look at the love of God in a new, fresh way. I'm gonna look at the Ten Commandments. So, obviously, we've all looked at and known and probably quoted the Ten Commandments, but I wanna look at them and see if we can see the love of God. See, first of all, in the book of Romans, in chapter 10, and verse 4, it says, Christ is the culmination of the law. Culmination, not the elimination. Culmination of the law, so that, in order that, there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. So let's just go through the Ten Commandments and see if we can see the love of God. First of all, it says, know God's before me. Anything that takes priority in your life is a God. And God is a relationship God. And he wants that first place in your heart to be occupied by no other than him. Because that's the best thing for you. It's not some, you can't do that and you can't do that. It is, I want the best. Let me show you how to get it. See, inside of you right now, there is a longing and a yearning for God. For who? See, many people say, well, you know, I don't need that. Well, you know, nose and mouth is your needs. I can prove that pretty easily. Come on up here. I'll put my hand over your nose and mouth. And when you pass out over 2 minutes, we pretty well prove that you have the need for air. But you didn't choose that. You didn't say one day, let's say, I'm going to choose to decide what needs I have. I have the need for air. I need to have the need for steak and the need for whatever. You did not choose your needs. Amen? God did. And inside of you, there is a longing. There is a yearning. There is a craving for God. And He is the only one that can fill that need. And we've all tried to fill that need with other things. All of us. I knew a lady one time that she loved shopping. She had 750 pair of shoes, and 300 of them are still in the box. Never took them out. And so whenever she got, you know, kind of lonely or feeling anxious, she just goes shopping and buy more shoes. I'm not recommending this. Quit looking at your husbands, ladies, and saying, I'm going to do that. See, God is the only one that can meet that need. It's the best thing for you. It's the best thing. It's a protection of you by a loving God that wants to give you His best, and He's just given us a formula how to receive that. Because no gods. Secondly, it says, no idols. Do not build any idols. And we think of idols usually as, you know, these stone things maybe in front of churches or religions that we would disagree with, whatever. I've seen the idol of Buddha in Thailand, this big emerald thing about that high, and Buddha just sat there. And we think, well, yeah, those are idols. That's kind of silly. But see, an idol is anything that you in your heart worship. And we don't say worship by singing praises. Worship is having high priority that's higher than God. See, it's a counterfeit. It's a counterfeit to the real thing. You try to put something higher than me, it's going to be empty. Kind of like cotton candy. Cotton candy sure looks good. Oh, it tastes so sweet for a few moments, but it's not that good for you. And it disappears very quickly. And so when God says, I don't want you to have any, I don't want you to build any idols. I don't want you to build things that take priority over me. Best thing for you. The third one is, do not take the Lord's name in vain, or no cursing. Clean up our language. See, really, why it says that, it's not because He's trying to keep you from talking badly. But see, when you use the Lord's name inappropriately and you curse, you're actually bringing a curse on yourself. Are you hearing me? Using the Lord's name is a way of cursing yourself. Now, I want to challenge you, church, and I know that maybe a lot of us don't have an issue with this, but it's the best thing for you is to watch your mouth. And don't see how close you can get to it. See how far away you can get from it. See, let's just say for an example that there's a big beam right down this way. This building's going this way for now. And this beam starts to crack. It looks like it's going to fall. What would you people here do? Where would you go? See, I think what it says, the Bible says, flee all appearances of evil. But I think often what we do is we try to get as close as we can without getting crushed. And so, you know, if I stand here, I think it'll miss me. I think I'll be okay. You know, I think I can stand here and think it'll miss me. And we try to get as close as we can rather than flee. Now, the flee means get out of the building. The love of God is, I want the best for you. So be careful. Don't curse yourself. Don't bring on negative things for you, because it's harmful for you. Number four is honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. It's not a day. See, those of you that maybe not know why it happened in evangelical Christianity, because it was Sabbath, was Saturday or the last day, but Jesus was raised from the dead on the first day. And we went from giving him the last to giving him the first. That's where evangelical Christianity has changed in the New Testament, where it's first, not last. But see, it's not a day. It's that you need rest. If you didn't get tired, you'd never ever stop. Right? Hello. If you didn't get hungry, you wouldn't eat. If you didn't have the urge, you wouldn't go to the bathroom. See, there's things that God builds within us. And see, the thing about the Sabbath is not so much that you can't do this, you can't do that, and you can't do this. We were just in Norway, and everything is closed on Sunday. Everything. Gas stations are the only thing open. You can't buy groceries. You can't buy diddly squat. I'm not sure what diddly squat is, but you can't buy it. And we were just talking about, like, this is really refreshing. Just to take a day. It's not a commandment to say, now you can't do that, you can't do this. You know, in the Old Testament, you can only walk a kilometer. That was a Sabbath day walk. And so it is a fairly short amount. And you know, and they get ridiculous. I don't know how many of you know some of the Orthodox people. On Friday afternoon, they open the refrigerator and they unscrew the light bulb. So that when you open the refrigerator on Saturday during the Sabbath, the light doesn't go on. So if the light doesn't go on, you're not actually using it. See, we find ways to try to get around it. But see, the issue is God's love for you says you need a break. You need rest. You need something to refresh you. You need something to build you up. It is not because I want you to go to church and sit there and be quiet all day. No, I want to refresh you. See, coming to this gathering and entering into what we did this morning of worship is the most refreshing thing you can do. Honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Number five is honor your father and mother. The only commandment with a promise. It says that it may go well with you. How many want it to go well with you? But this commandment is not just for childhood. How long are your father and mother? It'll always be your father and mother. It's honor them. Because when you honor them, you honor God, and therefore you put yourself in a place of greater blessing, greater joy, greater fulfillment. It's not a restriction. It is a protection. It is the love of God that we see in honoring your father and your mother. That doesn't mean they're always right. No, because I'm a father. I sure haven't been right. But I know that there's a principle of God that we get to receive that when he does. Number six is do not murder. I saw a cute sign in a church the other day. It says, so, just love everyone. I'll straighten it out in the end, sign God. Do not murder. Why? Because bad things are going to happen to you. It's not a hard commandment, but it's a protection. You know, if you murder somebody, bad things are going to happen to you, like jail, like someone might kill you back. Number seven, do not commit adultery. I read a cute little thing of some first graders were given some things about the Bible and what they said, and one of them was, thou shalt not admit adultery. It didn't say commit, just don't admit it. See, this is not a sexual restriction. This is the most wonderful, fulfilling thing that God can do. Because, see, sex is God's idea. It's not the smutty, off-color, dirty thing that the world has presented it to be. It's the most beautiful, precious, wonderful, enhancing, relationship-building thing. God is the one, the purest mind in the universe is the one that created sex and making love. But when you do it outside, I have done a fair amount of counseling in my life, and I can tell you the heartache, the grief, the horror when people are even one time or 100 times, whatever it might be, there's always pain and agony for sexual unions outside of marriage. And the world today tries to get us to say, oh, come on, it's not the dark ages. You got to see if you're compatible or not. You need to sleep together, make sure, you know, it works. My friends, the media, one of the goals of the media is to desensitize us to sin. And they're trying to convince us that sin's okay. The Word of God has not changed. I don't care what century this is. The Word of God has not changed, and it's still right and only right to live under God's. So you will be more blessed sexually when you do it God's way. So it says, do not commit adultery. Number 8, do not steal. Why? Because you're going to go to jail. God wants to keep you out of jail. God wants to bless you. Don't steal. Be content. Number 9, do not lie. Why? It's the language of hell. Have you read in Scripture that when the enemy lies, he speaks his native language? Lying is a tool of hell. And when you participate in lying, you are walking in the camp of the enemy. And that withholds and prevents the blessing of God. This is not a restriction. This is a protection. Don't lie. And number 10, do not covet. Why? Because being content and grateful is the best thing for you. Being content with what you have. All right, I want you to think for a minute of your dream car. If someone came up to you and said, I'll buy you any car you want, money's no limit, what would you buy? Just close your eyes and get a picture of it. Oh. It's not going to happen, by the way. Just thought I'd tell you that in case you're getting excited. It's probably not going to happen this century. Are you thankful for the vehicle you do have? See, contentment is a gift of God. Now, do you see God's love in that? Hello, I didn't hear the rest of you. Tracy answered. How about the rest of you? Do you see God's love in this? Now, I'm going to go a step further. See, because we don't live in Exodus 20. We live in the 21st century. But, and we also talk about where Jesus came to fulfill the law, and that's true. But I want to talk to us for a few minutes this morning about how God did not remove the Ten Commandments, and he did not lower the requirement. He actually raised them, every one of them, to a new level in the New Testament. Didn't eliminate, didn't water it down, didn't minimize. But now we do it in a new way, in a fresh way. We do it in the grace and mercy of God. See, the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 16, it says that law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. And I want to look again, now going back through the Ten Commandments, but this time I want to look at it in a way is, what's the requirement today? And those same things that God asks us to do, let's look at them. What's the New Testament level of his asking us to do? So, number one, know God's before me. How is that raised? In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37 says, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Now God just raised the standard. Before, don't have any other gods. Now, even those things he wants us to love. Should you love your father and mother? He just told us to. Should you love your children? Should you love your spouse? Should you love? Absolutely. This is not instead of. This is now is a new level. Those are secondary. Even those things are secondary to me. He did not lower the standard. He raised it. So now, is he first? Is he first? Are we living out New Testament ways? Is he really number one? It's been a really interesting time in my life personally as I went through the difficult time of 8 years watching my first wife decline and then die. And the heartache and the sadness. And it's by far the most difficult thing I've ever gone through. And I really pray that none of you will have to do that. And the love that I lost was we will have been married 50 years next month. And as I began to develop a relationship with Donna, and when she started chasing me, it was just really embarrassing. She just chased me until I said, yes, okay. I might pay for that later. But we developed, Donna and I have known each other for 36 years. She was on our staff in Daystar. Some of you remember the story about the building burning down when she was on the staff there. And so I've known her for a long time. And my first wife, Joyce, and her were very good friends. So this was so natural. But anyway, as I've developed love for her, my heartache pushed me to God, not to another person. See, when you get lonely, where do you go? When you get needy, where do you go? That's your first love. When you get just feeling empty or feeling, where do you go? What is it that you're drawn to? What is it? Where's your default place? And if it's not God, then we're not living in his request. No gods before. Number two, no idols. In Hebrews chapter 10, I'd like to just suggest that you read it. It's talking about the law and that Jesus came to fulfill the law, but the sacrifice that he made was a sacrifice to draw us to him, not draw us to religion. Religion's your enemy. And idols have a lot to do with religion. We worship something, not someone. There's a difference. In true relations, we worship someone. In religion, we worship something. And God says, it's not going to be fulfilling to you. I want you to worship me and me only. Religion will kill you. Religion is not your friend. See, what we have here is not religion. It's God's church. There's a big difference. But we often, we kind of find ourselves going back into the religious requirements of other religions. What makes Christianity unique and different from the other religions of the world? Two things that I know. There's more than that, but here's two things. Number one, your God loves you. Buddha does not love you. He's a stone. Muhammad does not love you. He's dead. The Hindu gods do not love you. They're just drops of something in nothingness. But your God loves you. Secondly, you can have a relationship with your God. You can't have a relationship with Buddha or Muhammad or the Hindu gods or any other religions you can think of. But you can have a relationship with your God. And God has raised a standard. Not just don't worship something, don't have idols. No, I am the first. And I want you to come to me and serve me only. Now, I love Donna. I found a new freshness of life. But she is not my first love. Where do you go when you're lonely? Where do you go when you got to make a big decision? Where do you go when you're struggling? Where do you go when you're upset? That's your idol. Number three, no taking the Lord's name in vain. The standard has been raised in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, I don't even want you to have coarse joking. See, God didn't lower the standard. He raised it. I don't want you even to, do those off-color things. Come on, church, this applies to us. Be honest. We've all done it. Awfully quiet in here. We've all done it. Just, get a little. Just imagine Jesus telling an off-color joke. This wouldn't happen. Amen? So I want to challenge you. Be careful what comes out your mouth. God did not lower the standard about taking his name in vain. He raised it and said, I don't want you even to be, little insinuating or, double meanings or little words that, are not that bad. Why don't we just be righteous? If in doubt, don't. Number four, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. There's a new thing in the New Testament about entering God's rest. And it says, those that don't honor me will never enter my rest. Whose rest? God's. And see, the Sabbath, he did not lower it. He said, when you honor me and you are needing refreshment, I will give that to you as a gift. I did a study of the two words, peace and rest. I looked up every scripture and looked up in the different languages, etc. And I was trying to come up with definitions. So I'll give you a definition of peace and a definition of rest. And you can do whatever you want with them. Here's my definition of peace. Peace is the absence of inner turmoil. When you don't have things churning inside, you have peace. Good peace. Genuine peace. And rest is the absence of things that drain me. You can be at rest and be very busy. Rest is a condition, and it's a gift of God. Because he says, I'll give you my rest. But those that don't honor me, they'll never enter my rest. Anybody need refreshment? Anybody need true rest? It can only come from God. Taking a nap is not rest. Now, it can be a good thing to take a nap. But true rest is a gift from God. Number five, honor your father and mother. Honor. Ephesians chapter 6 raises a standard. Obey your parents. We went from just honoring them, now you got to do what they say. Are they perfect? No. What if they're wrong? God does not give us qualifications, honor your or obey your parents when you really think what they're saying is a good idea. It just says do it. Because then it will go well with you. God did not lower the standard. He raised it. Number six, do not murder. Now, that's still a commandment. Don't go kill somebody, please. But now he raises standard in chapter 5. Don't even call your brother raka. The word raka in Greek is, you idiot. You fool. You ding-a-ling. Don't even do that, it says. Anybody guilty besides me? I'm going to raise both arms and one leg. If I tried to both legs, I'd fall down. But see, it raises standards. It says, don't. Just not do the negative. I want you to love them. He didn't lower the standard. He didn't say, oh, the law's gone. No. Why don't you go to a new? I want you to go to a fresh way. The love of God has increased our connection to him, not decreased. Number seven. Well, I still commit adultery. Well, that's still a requirement. But now, according to Matthew chapter 5, don't even lust. That's a higher standard. That's a higher level. Don't even look at another person with inappropriate desires or things. What is lust? Lust is a desire that cannot be righteously fulfilled. Say it again. Let me put the word sexual in there. Lust is a sexual desire that cannot be righteously fulfilled. So if you want to look at something and want to see more, see, that cannot be righteously fulfilled. So, again, it's not lowering the standard, it's raising it. Number eight, do not steal. That's still a requirement. But now, the command in Matthew chapter 6 is give. Not only do you not take away from somebody, but now you give. And you give, and you give. One of my mentors said this, don't give until it hurts. You keep giving until it stops hurting. Do you give? I was really appreciative of Pastor Jeff this morning when he was talking about tithes and offerings, and then your, what do you call it, your project, what's it called? Thank you. Your harvest project, that's over and beyond. See, you're not giving by tithing. That is not giving. You're only obeying a command, only obeying a requirement. Giving is when you go beyond that. And it says, give and you shall receive. It doesn't say tithe. Give and you shall receive. Are you a giver? Well, I can't afford not to. Well, let me challenge you. Test God. He invites you to test him in Malachi. Test me see if I will not pour out an abundance. I have lived the last 45 years of my life. I have lived, anytime you hear something funny, you're free to laugh. I have lived the last 45 years without a job that pays money. And I've had to trust God to meet our financial needs for 45 years in a row. And the key has been not great fundraising techniques. That's not it. Although I have gone to classes and training about that. That's not the key. The key is not contacting the right people that are well-to-do. I don't know anybody by that way. The key is how much I give. And I have to tell you that when I'm in need, my first thought is, where shall I give? The lady with the two mites, let's put it in modern-day vernacular, two pennies. That's all she had. She had two pennies. And she went and dropped it in. She said she gave more than anybody else. She'd get out of her need. My friends, if you only give out of your abundance, you're not a giver. Did you hear me? See, this whole thing with God about stealing is not, that's the minimum. What God wants us to do is to be givers. Are you a giver? You want to be a giver? Again, don't give till it hurts. Keep giving until it stops hurting. Number 9, do not lie. The New Testament raises the standard, not only don't lie, in James chapter 1, it says, I want you to tame your tongue. I want you to watch what comes out your mouth. The Bible says anybody that can tame the tongue, you've got it. How many have ever said things you wish you hadn't said? If you're not raising, you just lied. We're going to have a class for you tonight on honesty. We've all said things we wish we hadn't said, right? But God says a real mark of godliness is what comes out your mouth. And I challenge you. Don't just have a goal not to lie. Well, that's good. But what comes out your mouth? Is it godly? Is it building? Is it appropriate? Is it encouraging? And number 10, do not covet. And Philippians raises the standard. Philippians chapter 4 says, I want you to be content with whatever state you're in, whether it be Kentucky, Tennessee, or Oregon. Be content with what you have. I would want you to encourage you and challenge you today that today, sometime, you take a moment and you thank God what you do have. Look in your, open your closet door. Thank God for your clothes you have. Go out to your car. Thank Him for your car. Look at your house or your apartment. Thank Him for it. For your job. For whatever. Now, are there some things you'd like? Sure, absolutely. But contentment, the Word of God says, is godly gain. So today, as we look at the love of God, the Ten Commandments did not control us, it protects us. And God did not eliminate them in the New Testament. He just says, I want you to go a little bit deeper by raising this standard. So, think about the Ten Commandments and the New Testament requirements, and I think you'll be blessed. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, that your love is through everything you do, including what you ask of us. You're not restricting us when you say don't do this or don't do that. You're protecting us and loving us. Thank you for your love. And may we receive that today as from you. And may we walk in your current requirements by your love, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.